From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, August 29th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Human-caused climate change is overheating Maine's lakes and ponds, changing their biology and threatening their health. The state's climate future also includes fiercer storms and additional erosion, which flush more pollution into fresh water. As part of our series In Hot Water, Peter McGuire reports that even as work is underway to reinforce lake shorelines, advocates worry the problem is too big for homeowners to tackle on their own.
On a forested path leading down to Great Pond in Belgrade, a small but critical construction project is underway. A trio of workers from the Youth Conservation Corps struggles to build a shallow trench. Once the stubborn roots and rocks are removed, it will be lined with gravel and mulch.
A little can go a long way, something like this.
Max Comis, a junior at the University of Maine, says the upgraded path doesn't look like much, but looks can be deceiving.
The mulch and the rocks that we're going to put on top of this, it's going to filter the water. We have further filtration that goes in below it, and it's going to stop the bad things from getting in the water.
Nonprofits and homeowners are working harder than ever to limit shoreline erosion. Runoff from battered footpaths, camp roads, lawns, and driveways all deliver phosphorus into Maine lakes that fuel algal blooms and degrade water quality. And with climate change, extra pollution is getting carried into waterways, says Tristan Tabor from Lake Stewards of Maine. The group collects water quality data from lakes across the state.
You know, we get these big, high-volume rainfall events where there's a lot of velocity of water moving across the landscape, brings a lot more erosion because higher velocity water means it's picking up more material, carrying it further.
And now sources of erosion extend far into lake watersheds, demanding a regional approach to curb pollution from inadequate infrastructure and increasing development, Tabor says.
This concept of large-scale watershed connectivity needs to be looked at for our lakes.
About an hour and a half southwest of Belgrade, Susan Gallo tours the yard around a camp on the west side of Thompson Lake. Gallo, director of Maine Lakes, an advocacy group, says responsibility for defending Maine's public great ponds is often left up to private landowners.
Like, imagine if you had a state park somewhere and it was, you know, that we all could access, but then you told all the homeowners around it, hey, all of you, you're responsible for the health of the state park, right? That would be really strange. But that's what we have with lakes.
A couple of years ago, when Carrie Phoenix and her husband bought the place, there was a broken septic holding tank and buried cesspool. Stormwater went straight down a slanted asphalt driveway.
Gradually, you just notice that, like, the water is just flowing into the lake. And I know some stuff about phosphorus, and that's not great.
So Phoenix got in touch with her lake association to get certified Lake Smart. It's a program that encourages waterfront owners to manage runoff. She didn't get a passing grade on her first attempt. But after adding boxed gravel steps down to the water, fixing drip lines off the camp roof, adding erosion mulch, and encouraging a plant buffer on the shoreline, Phoenix thinks her chances are much better this time around. She's even volunteered to help find problems at other camps on the lake.
I feel like because we had the opportunity to have a place on the lake that we needed to work hard to preserve it.
All the work might seem like overkill, but Gallo says that's the point. Her group, which coordinates the Lake Smart program, recently toughened its standards to handle future storm runoff.
You have this healthy lake, but it's going to die from 1,000 little cuts around its shoreline because every little source of phosphorus is going to add up to make a big difference.
Gallo says if everyone applies a Band-Aid to those cuts, it can help Maine lakes survive. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Women are slowly making their way into the broadcast booths of professional baseball. Last season, Emma Tiedemann and Riley Pay turned heads when they joined up to do play-by-play for the Portland Sea Dogs minor league team. And this week, they made their major league debut, making history as the first two women to call several innings for the Boston Red Sox. Nicole Agrisco has more.
Welcome into the women's celebration game at Fenway Park for the second game of a doubleheader in Boston.
Monday night's game at Fenway Park may not go down in the annals of baseball, No one threw a no-hitter. No one hit for the cycle. But Emma Tiedemann and Riley Pay made history in their own right when they stepped into the booth with NESN broadcasters Dave O'Brien and Kevin Youkilis. At the start of the game, Pay compared the experience to that of the AA prospects they cover every day, getting their first call-up to the big leagues.
It'll be really special for us to sit down today, take a second in the booth, look down at Fenway Park, and see it all through their eyes as well. And Fenway, a little bit different than Havelock Field up in Portland, Maine, but very excited to call a Major League Baseball game here.
There were nerves, Emma Tiedemann says, and lots of adrenaline, but
I think the first batter was walking to the plate that it was like, oh, okay, now it's time for Red Sox baseball.
Pay and Tiedemann both grew up loving the game. Tiedemann's grandfather was a sportscaster and worked for the Texas Rangers and Chicago White Sox. Tiedemann has worked in baseball for the last 10 years, starting in Alaska and eventually Portland, the home of the Red Sox AA affiliate. Pay started with the Sea Dogs last season while finishing her college degree. Together, they became the second pair of women broadcasters in professional baseball. And while it's a big moment, Tiedemann says she's looking forward to the days when the next call-up for women in baseball isn't such a big deal.
There's still so much more work to be done, which is, I think, why this is still such a big deal. Now, granted, the Red Sox have had a very, very long history, and to just be a part of it is very cool, and to maybe be a trivia question one day.
1-0, this one drilled into center field. Loper Fido turns. That one is gone.
Pay says this is the call that will stay with her for a while.
Sharon Duran demolishes a two-run blast to dead center field. And the Sox within two in the bottom of the eighth.
I just remember kind of feeling numb, like one of those things where you're like, oh, wow, like this is happening.
The Blue Jays added two more runs that night, and the Red Sox lost 7-3. But Tiedemann says the outcome of the game didn't matter so much.
For me, it was the last 10 years in baseball of the long days, the long bus rides, the tarp pulls, all of those little things that go into this game, and knowing that it all was worth it for one night. And if that's all I have at the major league level, it was a really special night, and I'll carry it with me forever.
Tiedemann says she'd like to be the radio voice of a major league team someday. Pay hopes to take TV and radio at the next level. And as their final inning drew to a close on Monday night, Red Sox voice Dave O'Brien hinted at a future return.
And you are welcome back in our booth anytime you like, okay?
We might take you up on that.
Tomorrow night?
Sure.
All right.
For now, Tiedemann and Pay are back to the minor league grind this week, with the Sea Dogs on the road in Harrisburg. The Portland team is in first place in the Eastern League Northeast, and with any luck, Tiedemann and Pay will have a few playoff games to call next month. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole DeGrisco.
In response to escalating gun violence, Lewiston police say they will ask federal agencies for technology and other resources to investigate crimes. They'll also ask the city for overtime pay to increase foot patrols. At a news conference at City Hall on Thursday, the district attorney says his office also needs resources to address a burgeoning caseload and a shortage of prosecutors. Susan Sharon reports.
Androscoggin County District Attorney Neil McLean says there are currently more than 2,600 cases in his district's pipeline and just six prosecutors to handle them. If they tried 60 cases a year, McLean says it would take them several decades to address the backlog, and there are still new cases coming in all the time.
And we are that last line of defense for public safety that's in the courtroom fighting like crazy. How can we move cases? How can we ensure public safety isn't compromised while we do this? But if we do nothing, if we don't move some cases, the system will implode.
McLean rejects what he says is a popular narrative that the DA's office is just dismissing cases. As the state looks to bolster indigent defense resources, he's asking lawmakers not to forget prosecutors who are currently paid about $35 an hour, far less than attorneys in private practice. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
The Maine Warden Service is searching for the person who placed an illegal gill net on the McGalloway River in northern Oxford County. Gill nets kill whatever is entangled in them. Mark Laddie, spokesperson for the Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, says the net was large enough to cover a large portion of the stream. Two dead brook trout and other fish species were found entangled in the net. The McGalloway River is one of Maine's premier locations for brook trout.
Brook trout are one of those special species of fish, and the damage that a net like this could do to a stream like that is very alarming.
Maine Operation Game Thief originally offered a $1,000 reward to anyone with information that leads to an arrest. Laddie says a concerned citizen has offered to double the reward to $2,000. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling tomorrow morning at 11, favorite places in Maine based on listener submissions. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.